Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Major League Baseball scene, and we bring in Mike Petriello from MLB.com. He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great. How's it going?
Hello, we're doing great. Sun's shining in Cleveland. It's always a refreshing treat to have that here in Northeast Ohio. Let me tell you where the sun's not shining on batting averages in Major League Baseball. Now, the Guardians are okay because they're hitting 255 in the American League. The Rockies are crushing them at 256. Is this tide going to turn where we're going to see more offense from across Major League Baseball? Where do you think we're at?
I think where we're at is, there's two things, right? It will go up a little bit as the weather warms across the majors. Like, that's true every single year. So every time people try to compare April offense to full season offense without realizing that offense goes up as the weather does, like, that's a big flaw. So it'll go up a little bit, but probably not as much as you want it to, right? I mean, this is sort of the way that baseball has been trending over the last couple of years, first of all, with, you know, pitchers being more and more dominant and throwing harder with more moving stuff and starters never giving you a third time through. And then obviously, you know, the league announced last year that they were going to change the ball a little bit so it wasn't as juicy as it was in 2019. And now you have 20 new parks with humidors. And I think you're seeing all that come together. You know, like, it's hard to look at everybody saying, well, there are too many home runs in 2019 and now saying there's not enough home runs in 2022. And it's just so hard to find the happy medium.
You know, Mike, I kind of like the idea that you just laid out. When the weather warms up, the bats are going to warm up, which to me, the way this has gone so far, means that we're going to see baseball the way we used to see it before hitting 30 home runs in a season was just kind of typical. You know, in other words, you know, extra base hits, we're playing baseball the way it's supposed to be, when 25 home runs might be a really good power season. Could that be what they're looking for, and could that be what we get?
Could that be what they're looking for? Yes. I don't totally agree, though, that just by changing the way the ball flies, that you're going to get baseball the way it was played, where, as in, everybody liked baseball the most when they were 12 years old, right? Like, that's the rule. And you can't just say, okay, the ball doesn't fly now, so everyone's going to play like they're the 1985 Cardinals, because the pitching is so different, right? Back in the day, you had starters who would go and throw 140 pitches. That's just not the way the game is played right now. And guys who have kind of tailored their swings to try to get the ball off the ground, because whether it's better defenders or the presence of the shift or better positioning or whatever, they know there's no value to be had on the ground. You can't expect those guys to just snap their fingers and say, okay, we're all going to change our swings in the middle of the season. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work that way.
Mike, is a carryover from the lockout still in place, or is that done, or was that even overrated to begin with?
I don't think it was overrated. I think you certainly saw the effects of that early in the season where, you know, how many weeks did we go before a single pitcher threw like 100 pitches in a game, right? And I think that kind of hurt both sides, really, because obviously the pitchers weren't stretched out, but also now the batters had to face even more relievers. And the expanded rosters that they put out, you know, for the first couple weeks, I don't think helped with that. Like, if you ask me what would I change, the number one thing I would say is no more than 11 pitchers on a staff, right? I think that would fix a ton of our problems, but I think we're kind of far away from that.
I'm from another planet, and I don't understand this game at all. Can you describe what the Guardians are? Because I'm not quite sure.
Well, it's kind of funny. If you'd asked me what would their record be before the season, I think I would have said 500, and that's what's happened. But it certainly isn't the shape I would have expected, right? Like, right. I would have said they're 500 because their pitching is good and their offense is not. And it's kind of been the exact opposite of that,
that's true.
Which I appreciate. I appreciate them throwing a wrench into things and making it interesting. I don't know I don't know which side of that I believe in more. Like, I think the pitching can be better than it is. I don't really believe the offense will play this way all season long, but they sure have made it interesting, haven't they?
It's bizarre. You know, I watch them, and, you know, you go back to the beginning of the season, they score 44 runs in four games, and they go up and down. Then they go to New York, and they can't win a game on the road, and then they stay on the road, and they can't win. And then all of a sudden, you start playing Toronto, and you're winning the series there. And now you're playing the White Sox tough. Like, I just don't. And I know it's still early in the season. It's only May 13th. But they're just so Jekyll and Hyde. So Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, and it's funny. I've seen a couple of people point to their lineup and say, listen, they have really assembled a lineup, even if it's light on, like, top-end power. They've assembled a lineup that's going to make a lot of contact and has a little bit of speed and will put the ball in play and will make things happen. And I think that's totally true. I think they have kind of accidentally fallen into the right style of play for baseball in this year, like in the same way that they were not constructed for baseball of the previous years, you know. But a huge but here, if that's true, then why is the pitching not succeeding, right? Like, how does the pitching take a step backward in a year where every other team's pitching looks unbelievable? That's the part I can't wrap my head around.
Mike, there are a couple of guys who are kind of spearheading this offensive thing. Stephen Kwan, rookie, coming up doing a great job. Owen Miller doing a great job. To me, the guy who's most intriguing here is Andrés Giménez, who's been hitting like crazy, and he's a good defensive shortstop. Your thoughts on Giménez, is he the real deal, and has he answered your shortstop question?
Well, I think people forget that he's still so young. He is only, what, 23, I believe, right? Even though he's been around for a long time, at least if you follow top prospects, if he was, you know, with the Mets, this is his third year in the majors. But, you know, if you follow minor leagues, you've been hearing about this guy for 5 or 6 years. And when he came up last year, or was traded over last year, and didn't really succeed, I think it was too easy to write him off without remembering, like, the guy was 22 years old. You know, like, we always think of the top prospects like Juan Soto, Acuna, Fernando Tatis, who show up, and from, like, day one, they look incredible. And we forget about the guys who struggle and need a bit of time. You know, even going back to Mike Trout, his first year, when he was 19, he didn't look that good. They had to send him back down, you know? So I think you got to give these guys a little bit of rope. And I still believe in the talent. I still believe he can be the long-term answer there. If you're asking me if I think he's a true talent 900 OPS guy like he's showing this year, I'm going to say no to that, because he still is not walking, like, even a little bit. You know, that worries me a little bit in terms of plate discipline. But in terms of a guy who's 23 years old and has all the talent in the world to show what he's showing, I think it's extremely encouraging.
If he answers the shortstop question, it seems to me that it puts so much in place for this organization, because so many of their top prospects are middle infielders, shortstops primarily, and they can start to sort through some things. What do you think it takes for them to decide that, yep, he is the guy?
Why? I think it's just time. I mean, at this point, there is no reason to look at him and say, well, you know, we've got questions that we're maybe not going to play him every day. You know, and I know that Rosario has played a lot of shortstop as well. I think actually he's played a lot more shortstop than Giménez has.
Yep.
But I think you got to get him into the lineup, and you got to decide. You know, it doesn't matter to me necessarily if he's the shortstop or the second baseman, as long as he's playing every day. And he has been playing pretty much every day at one of those two spots. You know, so there's a lot of weird moving pieces on this team. You got a guy in Miller who can play first and second, which is not like a real traditional skill set, you know. Mm-hmm. You got a guy in Naylor who can play first and a little bit of outfield and obviously DH, and you want to see if his bat is for real. So in some sense, I don't know that it's entirely about Giménez. It's sort of about where does he best fit on the roster based on how all this other stuff is happening. And if he's your shortstop, great. If he's your second baseman, great. Honestly, if he's a little bit of both, all the better. You know, every team wants to have flexibility.
Do you think we're settling in with Naylor at first here, especially for the start? I know he's less than 75 at-bats already on the season, but he's fun to watch, and he can hit the ball. It's refreshing to watch that energy he has.
Yeah, kind of like what I said with Giménez, you sort of forget how young these guys are, because Naylor, he's been traded twice, I think, in two pretty big trades, because everybody forgets. You know, he was the first-round pick of Miami back in the day, and then he was in a big trade to San Diego and then in a big trade to Cleveland, and he is also only 24 years old. It's so easy to write these guys off that don't succeed right away, and I remember him, not to put too much emphasis on, like, 72 hours worth of baseball, but that one playoff series against the Yankees at the end of 2020 where he looked like the best hitter on the planet, and you thought, maybe this is it. Maybe this is a guy figuring it out. And then, of course, 2021 was not great, and I know there were some injury concerns there as well. And the answer here is sort of the same. Like, do I think he can be a successful major league hitter? Like, yeah, absolutely I do. Do I think he's going to have 1,000 OPS for very much longer? No, probably not. But the Cleveland offense over the last 5 or 6 years, aside from Ramirez and Lindor, has been so weak that you don't need a superstar. You need competent, solid big league hitters. And I think for the first time in a while, they have a number of those.
He just dropped down to 988. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Despite the fact that he's not wearing batting gloves.
That's true.
That's my favorite thing about him, Mike, other than the batting average. Pitching staff-wise, as you said earlier, we thought that would be the strength of the team. So far, it's just been there. And some of the guys have been okay, and some of the guys haven't. Is there reason to be concerned about Shane Bieber right now?
I think so. I can't give you a good reason as to why the velocity is down. But when I think about his kind of career path and his trajectory up from amateur ball into the pros, he was sort of like the first archetype of this guy where they're going to say, instead of trying to find a guy who throws hard and teach him to throw strikes, we're going to find a guy who can already throw strikes and try to teach him to throw hard. And that's what they did, right? He gained velocity. He already knew how to pitch, and that made him a superstar. And now when that velocity has left him, he's sort of left with, well, I know how to pitch. And you can be like a decent major league pitcher that way. But if he's not going to have that velocity that he had 2 years ago, 3 years ago, then I think that's going to be tough. And you're seeing it now. Like, I know he got off to a pretty decent start, but the underlying indicators of the velocity being down were worrisome. And then, I think it was against maybe the Blue Jays where he had a pretty poor start. So, yeah, I am worried about him. I'm not sure if this is, a remnant of the shoulder injury last year, the lockout, all of it, neither. It's unexpected to see this from him.
It's kind of a weird spin for the Guardians this week with the COVID protocol. I mean, I don't know that anybody expected that to happen this season, knowing where we've been and where we're going with this thing. Surprised that it took this long, or surprised that it happened, that we have a team that's kind of, in a weird conundrum here where you're missing your manager, your bench coach, your hitting coach, your assistant pitching coach, your first base coach, your third base coach, and your hitting analyst. I almost want to see, and Jeff and I are talking about this, that the guys go back to Little League, that if you're not the starting pitcher today, you're coaching first base and you're coaching third base.
Yeah, when I saw that game got postponed, it definitely gave me some that PTSD at 2020.
Right.
We hadn't seen that in a while. And, I mean, I think the fact that, all those guys got, caught the virus, I think it's tough, right? Like, you want to be, first and foremost, respectful of their health. Like, forget about baseball. Francona's had health issues, and that's the first foremost thing. Is like, are they going to be okay? Is everybody going to be okay? That's the thing you think about. But, yeah, I don't even know. Like, I know Carl Willis is going to be the manager. I don't know off the top of my head. You guys probably do better than I do. Who is filling out his coaching staff? I'm sure it's going to be interesting. And it's a weird way to consume baseball, where the guys who are there and who have been shepherding this team in a whole bunch of different ways are just not there. And it's hopefully something we don't see much more of.
All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate it, Mike. I always enjoy the conversation. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon down the road.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike Petriello, nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.